the chopper, flying way up high. Can you hear the screams of commies falling through the sky? Physical removal. Who's the god that failed? Failed every day. Physical removal is the only real way. Physical removal. Commies use the state to steal what we make, so they can build their roads and bridges. This is why we must remove them. Otherwise we'll be their victims. Look at all those commies. This is such a treat. Put them in the chopper quickly, throw them so to speak.
Physical removal.
Preemptive self-defense most surely is the best protection from the scum so vicious.
They really are malicious.
Their absence will be quite propitious, so to speak.
That intellectual property is incompatible with capitalism. We're in favor of capitalism, by which we mean private property, and we're against, or I'm against, intellectual property. You'll find defenders of intellectual property, some patent lawyers, and even some libertarians, and they get really indignant if you call it a monopoly. It's not a monopoly, it's a property right. If it's a monopoly, then, you know, your use of your car, your car's a monopoly. Well, one of the first patent statutes was England's Statute of Monopoly, 1624. You know, they didn't really mince words back then. We reached out with the Department of War in America. Now it's the Department of Defense, right? The old status were much better. They're more honest, right? But this patent statute in England, the statute of monopolies, it was a way to raise money for the crown without having to impose a tax. They sold these monopoly grants by charging fees to people for employment. The roots of copyright literally lie in censorship. So you had these guilds sort of rising when printing became easier, right? And then the church and the government started getting worried, oh, we can't control official and political thought as easily, and we can't control what gets approved thought. So they passed the copyright statutes to basically help limit what could be produced and said, and what information people could copy and share with each other. There were exclusive monopolies that protected various goods and services for a limited period of time. So they're monopolies. The word patent, actually, as a historian Patricia Seed notes, the word patent comes from the Latin patentes, signifying open, as distinct to closed letters or private letters. So they're open letters granted by the monarch that gave someone authorization to do something, like to be the only person to sell a certain good in a certain area. Copyright slows down new ideas and their diffusion. It reminds me of modern economists who talk about and all these scientific metaphors about the economy, right? We need to cool down an overheating economy, right? Basketball games have to move from all these scientific terms.
Your apprehensive listeners.
So what about intellectual property? We have a similar situation. We have America and its lackey, the World Trade Organization, pressuring other countries like Russia, India, China, to adopt our draconian IP laws, right? China is now actually coming into shape a little bit. They're now third in place behind Japan and America in terms of patent filings. It's a radical shift from 5 or 10 years ago due to American pressure. We have diplomatic pressure being exerted on Canada right now.
state is a territorial monopolist of compulsion, an agency which may engage in continual institutionalized property rights violations and exploitation in the form of expropriation, taxation, and regulation. Monopoly, and thus exhibiting a tendency toward increased exploitation. On the one hand, this means increased domestic exploitation and internal taxation. On the other hand, it means, of course, territorial expansionism. States will always want to enlarge their exploitation and tax base. Only one monopolist of exploitation and taxation in any given area, and thus the competition between different states can be expected as promoting a tendency toward increased political centralization and ultimately one single world state. According to the orthodox view, centralization is generally good and a progressive movement, whereas disintegration and secession, even if sometimes unavoidable, represents an anachronism. This orthodox view is more illustrative of the fact that history is typically written by its victors. As one approaches the limit of a one-world state, all possibilities of voting with one's feet against a government disappear. Wherever one goes, the same tax and regulation structure applies.
stupid and cowardly, who are neither able to endure hardship nor to vindicate their rights. They stop at merely longing for them and lose through timidity the valor roused by the effort to claim their rights. Poor, wretched, and stupid peoples, nations determined on your own misfortune and blind to your own good. You let yourself be deprived before your own eyes of the best part of your revenues. Your fields are plundered, your homes robbed, your family heirlooms taken away. You live in such a way that you cannot claim a single thing as your own, and it would seem that you consider yourself lucky to be loaned your property, your families, and your very lives. You sow your crops in order that he may ravage them. You install and furnish your homes to give him goods to pillage. You rear your daughters that he may gratify his lust. You bring up your children in order that he may confer upon them the greatest privilege he knows, to be led into his battles, to be delivered to butchery, to be made the servants of his greed and the instruments of his vengeance. I do not ask that you place hands upon the tyrant to topple him over, but simply that you support him no longer. Then you will behold him like a great colossus, of protection and the perversion of the ancient law by the English king, both of which had led the American colonists to revolt, were the inevitable result of compulsory monopoly. Existing homegrown institutions of self-defense and private, voluntary and cooperative protection and adjudication by specialized agents and agencies take care of law. We'll be right back.
paper money does not in the slightest affect the quantity or quality of all other non-monetary goods in existence. To believe this is to believe in magic, namely that stones, or rather paper, can be turned into bread.
We'll be right back. You own a larger part of social wealth, no? At the expense of impoverishing others, those who own less, and those other people who receive the money, the newly created money, later or last. Hyperinflation. For in that case, of course, people would avoid using money altogether and flee into real values, and thereby you would be robbed of your magic wand that you control.
Before I will explain why there is a drive toward a world bank, I will have to discuss briefly another question, that is, why is there a drive toward world government? Because the drive toward a world bank can be best understood as an intermediate step in the underlying drive toward world government.
Thank you. government agents prefer more over less income. Now, what then will be a government's position vis-a-vis a market-provided money? As should be immediately clear, it will try to gain monopolistic control over the supply of money so as to be able to enrich itself at the expense of its subjects, very much in the same way as it enriches itself at the expense of its subjects by the means of taxation. In order to reach this goal, a government must take three consecutive steps. The first step is a government monopolizes the minting of gold. No one except the government mint is permitted to produce gold coins. With this step, it becomes possible for the government to engage in coin flipping, that is, to reduce surreptitiously the gold content of coins. Government now monopolizes the production of money substitutes, that is, of paper titles to gold property. No one except the government bank can issue banknotes redeemable at par into genuine money. Eventually, the public will perceive what is going on, and when it does, runs on the central bank will occur. And accordingly, then, the third step follows. The government goes off the gold standard, the gold deposited in government vaults is confiscated, and the private ownership of gold is outlawed. Former money substitutes now become real money. We have then a pure fiat paper currency that takes the place of the former commodity gold standard. And finally, or so it seems, the government has reached complete counterfeiting autonomy and can print money out of thin air and acquire real goods with this paper. The only remaining task seems to be that of avoiding hyperinflation. How the government can get away with taking the three steps that I just outlined? It can only do so if it succeeds in creating a favorable public opinion. And in order to do so, it will have to promote a few myths.
Is legalized force, and its only function is to defend life and property by beating anti-social elements into submission. As for the rest, government is, I quote, the employment of armed men, of policemen, gendarmes, soldiers, prison guards, and hangmen. The essential feature of government is the enforcement of its decrees by beating, killing, and imprisonment. Those who are asking for more government interference are asking ultimately for more compulsion and less freedom. End of quote. Mises allows for unlimited secession, down to the level of the individual, if one comes to the conclusion that government is not doing what it is supposed to do, namely to protect life and property. Mises then is an extremist, he is a laissez-faire radical. And Hayek, in my view, is a muddlehead, and I personally like extremists, and I do not like muddleheads.
A government is a compulsory, territorial monopolist of ultimate decision-making or of jurisdiction. It is a compulsory, territorial monopolist of taxation. That is, a government is the ultimate arbiter regarding what is and what is not just. Requiring the consent of those who seek justice or arbitration, the price that these justice seekers must pay to the government for providing this very service.
agree to a deal that entitles someone else once and for all to determine whether or not one was truly the owner of one's own property. And certainly no one would agree to a deal that entitled this monopoly judge with the power to impose taxes on oneself. Rather, an institution such as government would normally and from the outset be regarded as an illegitimate and indeed criminal protection racket. And as a protection racket, this institution would tend to be brought down quickly. The agents of this institution will take advantage of their monopoly. They will increase taxes and they will reinterpret the law to their own advantage. The price of justice will rise and the quality of justice will permanently fall. Or, to put it differently, government has indeed an interest in making peace among its subjects, that is, to prevent one subject from warring against another or robbing another subject, but it has this interest only so as to rob all of its subjects more successfully itself. In order to make the public accept it and not to resist it, the protection racket to believe to the public that without it, without the monopoly of jurisdiction and taxation, in a so-called state of nature, constant warfare among individual property owners would exist. And I have called this belief in the necessity of a monopolist in order to create peace, this the Hobbesian myth, and identified it as a most powerful and most effective and widespread myth of the modern world. Given territory, only one monopolist of jurisdiction and taxation can exist. There cannot be free competition in ripping off other people. Domestic economies comparatively little tend to defeat and expand their territories at the expense of less liberal ones.
competition between governments tends to be a violent competition and tends to result in interstate wars and be eliminative. That is to say, by means of war, one state expands its territory at the expense of another one, and the number of remaining states will progressively fall. There is then a tendency toward political centralization set in motion, which would come, theoretically speaking, only to a halt once there is a single world government, when the threat of exit is, of course, completely eliminated.
Fundamental political question is, why do people obey a government? The answer is that they tend to enslave themselves, to let themselves be governed by tyrants. Freedom from servitude comes not from violent action, but from the refusal to serve. Tyrants fall when the people withdraw their support. The power of one man alone, as soon as he acquires the title of master, becomes abusive and unreasonable. For it is impossible to be sure that he is going to be kind, since it is always in his power to be cruel whenever he pleases. itself, cuts its own throat when having a choice between being vassals and being free men. It deserts its liberties and takes on the yoke, gives consent to its own misery, or rather, apparently welcomes. They crave, the more they ruin and destroy. The more one yields to them and obeys them, by that much do they become mightier and more formidable, the readier to annihilate and destroy. But if not one thing is yielded to them, if without any violence they are simply not obeyed, become naked and undone and as nothing, just as when the root receives no nourishment, the branch withers and dies. There is nothing a human should hold more dear than the restoration of his own natural right to change himself from a beast of burden back to a man. On the impossibility of limited government and the prospects for a second American Revolution. Protection and justice will rise, and their quality will fall. Rather than being a protector and judge, a compulsory monopolist will become a protection racketeer. the destroyer and invader of the people and property that he is supposed to protect, a warmonger and an imperialist.
State apparatus, and the state is defined as an institution that possesses, on the one hand, a territorial monopoly of ultimate decision making in every case of conflict, including conflicts involving the state itself. The state is then, by implication, an institution that has the right to tax, that is, unilaterally determine the price the state's subjects must pay to the state to perform this task of ultimate decision-making. Now, to act under these constraints, or rather under this lack of any constraints, is what constitutes politics and political action. It should be clear from the outset that politics, then, by its very nature, always means mischief. Not from your point of view. Remember, you are in charge of the state, you run the state. Not from your point of view, of course, but mischief from the point of view of those that are subject to your rule as the ultimate judge in every case of conflict. Automatically take an active interest in your own future well-being. That is, they will want you to stay in business, and that is to say, They want the state to go on in its exploitation business. If only you establish yourself first as a territorial monopolist of the production of money by saying, on my territory, only I am permitted to produce money. You must replace pieces of paper that were titles to real money with pieces of paper that are titles to absolutely nothing. Their sponsors wanted to achieve. You have produced something valuable, something with purchasing power, out of something that is practically worthless.
Yeah, we record freedom up in this bitch. Black and gold, real money, real talk, homie. Take these fools to school, Kinsella. Empiricists in the crib, ma. Drop it like it's hopper, drop it like it's hopper, drop it like it's hopper. When the reds try to get at you, park it like it's hopper, park it like it's hopper, park it like it's hopper. And if a status get an attitude, pop it like it's hopper, pop it like it's hopper, pop it like it's hopper. I got Mises on my shelf, a low time preference for wealth, and I roll argumentation ethics for the ownership of self. I'm a nice dude, an attorney. My kid Ethan does Montessori. See, this IP, it's not real property. It doesn't suffer from any sort of scarcity. It's just privilege to allow a monopoly. That ownership leads to intellectual poverty, an unintended consequence of governmental lobbying. I'm into freedom, go ahead and copy me. Killer with the beat, my wife works on Wall Street. Social order's best achieved with a ruling natural elite. So don't try to run up on my ear talking all that Marxist shit. I won't be part of that shit. You made it worse, but you didn't start that shit. You should think about it, take a second. I don't care what society you think you modeled. Aggress against me, your right to life is a stomp. Empiricists in the crib, ma. Drop it like it's Hopper, drop it like it's Hopper, drop it like it's Hopper. When the Reds try to get at you, park it like it's Hopper, park it like it's Hopper, park it like it's Hopper. And if a status get an attitude, pop it like it's Hopper, pop it like it's Hopper, pop it like it's Hopper. I got Mises on my shelf, a low time preference for wealth, and I roll argumentation ethics for the ownership of self. I'm an Austrian, but y'all knew that. And an anarchist, yeah, I had to do that. I keep the black and gold hanging out my backside, but only on the right side, yeah, that's the cap side. Ain't no other way to deduce the way I deduce. I make my case from a priori truths. Two, one, yep, three. Hans Hermann HOPPE. I do philosophy well, like an ancient Greek. You're way out of your league, son, so to speak. Rights aren't granted by Allah, Zeus, or Thor, Buddha, or Krishna, or any of his other forms. That we can argue shows that they're accepted norms to which the vast majority of us conform. So let the premise of the state be seen unveiled. Democracy is a god that fizzles.
Empiricists in the crib, ma. Drop it like it's Hopper, drop it like it's Hopper, drop it like it's Hopper.
When the Reds try to get at you,
park it like it's Hopper, park it like it's Hopper, park it like it's Hopper.
And if a status get an attitude,
pop it like it's Hopper, pop it like it's Hopper, pop it like it's Hopper.
I got Mises on my shelf, a low time preference for wealth, and I roll argumentation ethics for the ownership of self. They say I'm right wing, fetishizing race, but I say it's all the same to the marketplace. I'm erudite, I don't take shit. Triple H, yeah, I'm rolling straight. On the Vegas scene, stop the libertine shit that you're dealing, cause I'm paleo and mean. Are you coming up to me trying to be rude? Can't dig the culture you get forcibly exclude? You lose, high IQs. I know my money, got them golden hues. To the last cent, now we represent. Let me hear the voice, I guess auf Deutsch. Moral consistency, same rights better be applicable to me. Philosophy. My a priori axioms solve the issue. It's Aristotle porn. I hope you brought a tissue.
Empiricists in the crib, ma. Drop it like it's Hopper, drop it like it's Hopper, drop it like it's Hopper.
When the Reds try to get at you,
park it like it's Hopper, park it like it's Hopper, park it like it's Hopper.
And if a status get an attitude,
pop it like it's Hopper, pop it like it's Hopper, pop it like it's Hopper.
I got Mises on my shelf, a low time preference for wealth, and I roll argumentation ethics for the ownership of self.
You taking over. HOPPE. Kinsella, holla at your boy. So to speak.
The ultimate arbiter in every case of conflict that arises, including conflicts involving the state itself. Now, if you hear this type of definition, you immediately realize that this is a very unique type of institution. Just imagine that you get together with some friends and suggest that as a solution of social problems, in every case of conflict that I have with you, I will be the ultimate judge who is right and wrong, including also in cases of conflict that I start with you. This is why all states are interested in taxation. We all know that if we have a conflict with the state that the state has actually caused, it is agents of the state that then decide whether they were right in hitting you on the head or they were not right. And you can predict, of course, what their decision by and large will be. Taxation. If such an institution exists, and it does exist, then the consequence will be continuous expropriation and exploitation of property owners.
there is an alternative source of income to the state besides taxes, and that is trying to gain control over the production of money itself. This is why all states are interested in taxation. We all know that if we have a conflict with the state, that the state has actually caused, it is agents of the state that then decide whether they were right in hitting you on the head or they were not right, and you can predict, of course, what their decision by and large will be.
Central banks are a tremendous danger. They are all heads of a criminal organization. Danger. 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 Danger.
Democratic states are deterioration. The democratic equality before the law is something completely incompatible with the idea of one universal law applying to every person in exactly the same way.
Everyone can become king. Everyone can become king.
Everyone can become king, so to speak.
Public law that applies to public officials and a lower private law that applies to regular folks. Under democracy, everyone is equal insofar as entry into government is open to all on equal terms. If as a private person I simply take your money out of your wallet, this is considered to be a criminal offense and I will be punished. If as a public official I come to you and do exactly the same thing, this falls under public law, is considered to be a legal activity. So to speak. If as a private law I take you and beat you up and force you to work for me day and night, this would be considered kidnapping, slavery and whatever, and is of course a great offense. If I do that as a public official, then it is called public service, military draft, and things like this is perfectly all right. Everyone can engage in theft and live off stolen loot if only he becomes a public official.
Conflicts is a perversion instead of is what the rule is supposed to do, namely to help us avoid conflicts. Only private or exclusive property makes it possible that all otherwise unavoidable conflicts can be avoided. A norm that would generate conflict, that creates conflicts, is contrary to the very purpose of a norm or a rule. inferior goods, bad goods, low quality goods, but it actually produces bads. That is to say, goods that are not really goods at all, what we call bads. The state is an agency that exercises a territorial monopoly of ultimate decision making. If you can decide who is right and wrong in every case, even in cases involving yourself, then you will provoke and cause conflicts. And then, of course, decide these conflicts in your own favor. States will substitute legislation for law. They make the law. They make laws and say, it is all right if I hit you on the head sometimes. The norm that creates conflicts is a perversion. If you can decide who is right and wrong in every case, even in cases involving yourself, then you will provoke and cause conflicts.
Institution of private property is definitely not just a convention, because no alternative to it exists. Only private or exclusive property makes it possible that all otherwise unavoidable conflicts can be avoided. And only the principle of property acquisition by acts of original appropriation, that is, of appropriating something that was previously unowned, makes it possible that conflicts can be avoided from the beginning of mankind on, so to speak, until its very, very end. Because the first appropriator of something did not involve anyone in any conflict. He was the first one. Nobody else was there. So the first appropriation of something as private property is a conflict-free way of transferring something was previously some external thing into something that is private property.
Now I want to come to a more rigorous refutation of this claim of the positive. No one can purposefully not act. Now consider, however, some
economic propositions.
What is consumed now cannot be consumed again later. Without private property in production factors, there can be no prices. And without prices, cost accounting is
impossible.
If we increase the amount of money without increasing the quantity of non-money goods, social wealth will not be higher, but only
prices will rise. What is consumed now cannot be consumed again later.
This we would call an absolute king.
Bigger civic improvements and lower taxes. On election day,